Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We like to hear announcements, and they impart knowledge and information to us. The Bible has a lot of announcements. We have the announcement of the birth of Christ. We have the announcement of his resurrection. But there's another great announcement that is mentioned in the second chapter of the book of Acts, made by the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost, when at the conclusion of his sermon he said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now what does this announcement tell us about Jesus of Nazareth? Well, it tells us that Jesus is Lord. He's the master of all. He's approved of God. He is deity. He is authority. He's the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Savior of mankind, and the Deliverer from sin. And as such, he's the hope of the world, the light of the nations, the Son of God. Why, this is one of the greatest declarations of truth that's ever been made. Nothing exists equal to it. So much else that we consider important rests upon the validity of this announcement. It states the identity of the one to whom we look for salvation. But what right did Peter have to make such an announcement? What was his evidence? What proof could he offer? How could he expect people to accept what he was saying as the truth? Well, to put things in perspective, let us understand that all the things that took place there on the day of Pentecost, or before the day of Pentecost, pointed toward that day, and the things that happened afterward pointed back to it. This was the day that the gospel was first preached in its fullness. On this day, the doors of God's kingdom were opened to mankind. It was then that the first of the saved through Christ were added to his church. From that day until this, the message of salvation has been heard to the saving of those who believe and obey. Now, the evidence that Peter cited was conclusive. It was convincing. The hearts of the hearers were pricked with the truthfulness that they heard. They were convinced of their sins, and they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Well, Peter had proven beyond question the validity of his announcement concerning Christ. He had used irrefutable facts concerning Christ to support his declaration. Now, let's look at these things that he presented. First of all, he said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." The miracles that Jesus did was evidence that he was the one he claimed to be. And toward the end of his personal ministry, Jesus said, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." If any had any doubts as to who he was, they could consider what he was doing and what he had done. Nicodemus recognized the weight of this evidence early in the ministry of Christ when he said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him," John 3:2. When John the Baptist sends messengers to Jesus from his prison cell to learn more fully about the identity of Jesus, he told them to go and show John the things which you see and hear. Well, what did they hear and see? The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. This was evidence that Jesus was the one that should come, and it was useless to look for another. In John chapter 9, we read where Jesus healed a blind man. And that later that blind man was asked, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And he said, "Lord, I believe." What convinced that man? Well, this is what he said, "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Well, that was convincing evidence to him. In submitting truth that Jesus is the Lord and the Christ, Peter was submitting the miracles of Christ, the miracles which he said his hearers were aware. He said, as ye yourselves also know. Now, if ever was a time for someone to deny that Jesus worked miracles, that was the time, rather than some 2,000 years removed from the scholarly halls of the skeptic institutions of learning today. But none denied it. The enemies admitted it. John wrote, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing have life in his name. John 20:30-31. Well, another evidence that Peter presented was the fulfillment of inspired prophecy. In speaking of David, he said, men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. You see, friend, the prophets had foretold the birth of Christ by the Virgin, the place of his birth, his name, some of the things of his life, about his death, his burial, his resurrection, his mighty works, his kingdom. In fact, Peter declared in Acts chapter 3, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet like the Lord your God shall raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. And he applied that to Jesus Christ. He further said that all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Why, one who is knowledgeable of the message of the prophets, they could recognize in Jesus the fulfillment of those prophecies, that he was the Messiah, that he was the Savior of mankind. Jesus once said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now, that proves that Jesus respected the Scriptures and what the Scriptures prophesied about him. At the household of Cornelius, Peter said, to him give all the prophets witness. Friend, Christ did not come to destroy the law of the prophets. He said he came to fulfill them. Matthew 5:17-18. And when Paul preached before Agrippa, he preached what the prophets had said that should be. And Paul said he knew that Agrippa believed the teaching of the prophets and the things that Moses and others had said should come to pass. In every instance, a very minute detail, Jesus fulfilled the prophecies concerning the Messiah. And Peter then turned to the resurrection as the evidence that he was declaring the truth of Jesus Christ. Peter said, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, for it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Now, as with the miracles, if ever was a time for someone to deny the resurrection of Christ, that was the time. They were in the same city where Jesus had lived, where he had been seized, where he had been tried, where he had been humiliated, where he had been taken and slain and buried, and only a few days previous to Peter's announcement. If ever there was one that had been presented the evidence of Peter's statement to be untrue, why, that was the opportune time. Certainly the objections raised then ought to carry more weight than objections that are raised thousands of years removed from the event and from the witnesses of the events. But none denied it. None could produce any evidence to the contrary. The tomb was empty. Jesus had been seen by many witnesses. At least 12 different appearances are recorded in Scripture, once as many as 500 people at once. Peter said, we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. 2 Peter chapter 1. John writes that we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon, with our hands have handled, declare we unto you. Yes, dear friend, in the book of Acts chapter 4, Peter stated forthrightly before the enemies of Christ, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Paul declared, by the resurrection of Christ, Jesus was declared to be the Son of God. and by the resurrection, Peter proved his announcement. He pointed out other evidences about his announcement that was true, that none could deny. He has shed forth this which you now see and hear. And to paraphrase what Peter is saying, now we've been telling you what we have seen, what we have heard, what we know to be true, but now the Lord has given you evidence for you to see and for you to hear, and you can know. For that which we are saying is from God, and you can be convinced. Well, what was it that the people were hearing and seeing? Why, they had heard about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles that came with a rushing mighty wind, or like a rushing mighty wind, and tongues of fire upon them. They heard these Galileans speak in languages or tongues that were not normal, nor native, nor natural to them. These languages the apostles had not learned ordinarily, but were nonetheless able to speak, and those from every nation were able to hear in their own language. Every man was hearing the truth in his own language. Now this was proof that they were guided by the Holy Spirit in what they were saying. Oh yes, it was true that some accused the apostle of being drunk, but Peter convincingly refuted those false charges. What was the result of all of this inspired testimony that Peter presented? Why, friend, as Paul said, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The preaching by the Apostle Peter on this occasion produced faith in the hearts of the hearers. They accepted the validity of Peter's announcement. God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye crucified, Lord and Christ. The evidence was just too weighty to refute. And the people were convinced and they were convicted. And they cried out, "What shall we do?" Well, Peter told them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Do you know, friend, some 3,000 heard that message. They believed that message. They obeyed that message just as they were instructed. And it says the Lord added them to the church. Yes, this was the way people became members of the church of the Lord then. And that's the way people come into the church today. They hear the gospel of Christ. They believe the gospel of Christ. And they're baptized into the body. They're baptized into Christ. And the church exists on the same foundation that Peter's announcement was true, namely that Jesus is both Lord and Christ. Now, when we read these things and read about this great announcement on the day of Pentecost by the Apostle Peter, what do you think about that announcement? Do you believe it? You heard it. Do you believe it? Many heard it and believed it and obeyed it many years ago. What do you think of the evidence that Peter presented to substantiate his announcement? If it's convincing to you, it should be. Do you think you can refute it? Do you know anything that you could say that would contradict the Apostle Peter's affirmations concerning Christ? And do you dare disbelieve what is so evidently set forth, realizing that to do so will be the damnation and ruination of your soul? Friend, I would persuade you, if you are convinced that Jesus is the Christ, if you really believe that, then you're going to obey what he has to say. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You'll repent of your sins. You'll confess your faith before others. You'll be baptized into Christ, as Peter said, for the remission of sins. And you'll strive to live your life in faithfulness, in the work and worship, as a child of God. Those that have done so have the promise that they will be in heaven with God. We want all men to do that. And this is the reason we remind you of this great announcement. Be listening again, if you will, tomorrow. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.